I think the saying is good, better, best. Let us never rest till our good is better and our better best.
I suppose there wasn't a lot of suspense for 18-year-old Victor Agafe after he opened the third acceptance envelope, or the fourth. I mean, if you got accepted at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Dartmouth, would there be much doubt about Penn, Brown, Columbia, and Cornell? Would you even care at that point? I mean, you know your test scores are good.
My test scores on the SAT, I got a 2120 on it. I took four subject tests. I got a 790 on U.S. history, a 720 on the chemistry one, 710 on math one, 710 on the biomolecular side.
So what could Stanford possibly find to quibble about in this application? But just in case...
I was actually just also named valedictorian of my high school class.
Pile it on, Victor. And he got accepted at all eight Ivy League schools and Stanford. He's attending Harvard in the fall. He's the son of proud Nigerian immigrants who put Victor on a success track a long time ago. And try as I might, there was nothing I could say to dampen Victor Agafe's enthusiasm about his future.
I'm excited, but to me, it really wasn't about me. It's more of a culmination of just the time and dedication my parents, my teachers, members of my community have just put into me throughout my years from like when I was just a baby to this day. And I really owe it all to them, you know, and I really want this to be more an inspiration for our generation, you know, and for kids my age to say like, hey, you know what, like we can make a difference. We can make a mark, because everything you see in the news today, it's always negative, you know, and I know we have a lot of social issues you're dealing with. But I think the more positivity we have out there and the more good things that are happening, I think the better it's going to be and the more we can all encourage each other.
How much is your story a way of really taking advantage of things that your parents didn't have? Tell me a little bit about growing up with your parents and what they expected and wanted for themselves and maybe wish to have for you.
The thing is, my parents, you know that here in America, it's just like the educational opportunities, the opportunities for social advancement, they're just unparalleled, right? So from the very beginning, they're always saying, you're the only person who can limit yourself, you know, both in the sacrifices they made to come here and to create a good life for me, and in the sacrifices many social advocates here in the U.S., you know, made 50 years ago to them, you know, they've always told me there's no excuse for you not to do well. But at the same time, always remember, you know, where you come from, and always remember that it is important to give back to the community around you, because if it wasn't for other people, you would not have any of the opportunities you have today.
Give me a sense of the essay that helped to get you these acceptances.
I wrote about why I refuse to remain silent. And what it really was about is why in our school's diversity club, we decided to have a day of silence, right, in honor of the LGBTQ community. And I remember my acquaintances around school, you know, was very against the idea, right? And I remember, you know, for example, when he was like, I wouldn't even have like a college roommate who's gay. And to me, you know, I wrote my essay about why it was important for me to speak out in that instance and for us to lead that. And I connected it, for example, to like my experience as like an African-American individual and being judged, and for like how as a society, how we have to stand up for each other against any kind of prejudice in order to like achieve and gain the most from the great diversity we have around us.
Well, Victor, why don't you read the paragraph that begins with the words, I don't know what it feels like.
Absolutely. I don't know what it feels like to be gay, bisexual, or transgender, but I do know what it is like to have a facade of inferiority hang over me because I look scary. I know how worthless it is to pat the victim on the back or assure him in times of privacy that it doesn't matter what she thinks. This applies even in the most intimate of settings, as I find my friend is not the only one I must confront on such issues, but also my own personal heroes. But Granny, regardless of what the Bible says, isn't the struggle for gay rights just like the struggle for racial equality? I know that it may seem wrong to challenge those that have unconditionally loved and cared for you, but I must do so in order to ensure that all others can feel the same love from all people.
Did you ever say that to your grandmother?
Yes, absolutely. Whenever we were just discussing a lot of pertinent social issues, I'm a Catholic and very Catholic family. And, you know, she said, well, you know, doesn't the Bible say this? But I was like, but wait a second, you know, regardless, we all have to stand up for each other's rights, because to me, my Catholicism, my Christian religion, it's about loving and embracing all people, you know?
Are you the oldest son?
Yes, I am.
And in a Nigerian family, I mean, in a lot of families, in a Catholic family, I mean, that's a big deal. Oldest son, educated parents. I mean, you're college bound from the moment you take your first breath, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been very blessed, you know, not only to like have the resources that I've had, but from the very beginning, you know, my parents have always pushed me to do the very best that I can do. And, you know, they held up a very high standard, you know, nothing less than A's. That was their rule. It didn't matter. You know, all the other outside things I love to do, student government, youth in government, the musicals, if I didn't keep my all A's, there's no way they would allow me to do that. So I would say they definitely set the bar for me really high. But the thing is, I think as you get older, it's not really about them pushing you at that point. It's like as you start getting towards like seventh, eighth grade, it's about like, hey, I want to do well because I want to open up opportunities for myself and I want to make a difference in the world based on things that I'm very passionate about, you know?
But I think a lot of people will say you're under tremendous pressure to succeed. I mean, all of a sudden, boom.
I think of it more as like of an opportunity. With all the resources that from based on my visit that I saw that are available there, I feel like, okay, so to whom much is given, much is expected. So that's where pressure comes from in that instance. But if you just work hard and you sort of live with integrity, right? I'm still going to do my work. I'm going to read my textbooks, all that, because I want to be successful. You know, I think that's what makes the difference at the end of the day. And sure, I'm sure the classes there are going to get tough and I'm going to be with some of the smartest individuals in this entire world. But I feel like if you're willing to reach out to your teachers, just like in high school, for help whenever you have it, then I feel like you should even have a greater opportunity to succeed.
Victor, I have to say I'm sold. I'm sold. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much for your time, sir, and have a fantastic day.
Victor Agafe is a high school senior accepted to all 8 Ivy League schools and Stanford. Victor's story is part of a collaboration with PRI's Global Nation Project, which is exploring the benefits and the challenges facing immigrants in America's classrooms. To learn more, visit thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.